You're listening to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. This show was once about business, LinkedIn, and my life with an autoimmune disease. And then one day I found out I was misdiagnosed, so I had to switch things up a bit. Life is so short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. I'm on a mission to help women take their business and life to that next level they deserve to be at. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today, and I cannot wait to share these amazing stories of other female entrepreneurs who will be featured on the show. If you have a story or brand you want to share, send me a message on Facebook and Instagram today. You can find me at The Happy Workaholic. I would love to connect with you. Do you want a live chat during this episode? Make sure you're listening on iHeartRadio. I'm here to remind you to work hard, stay humble, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to The Happy Workaholic Podcast. And now let's get into today's show. Today's episode is brought to you by Your Podcast Production. Have you been wanting to launch your own podcast but not sure where to begin? Is time the only thing holding you back? Maybe you're already recording but need somebody to guide you through the production process. Do you have a message that needs to be heard? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I have just the program for you. Your Podcast Production designs, coaches, produces, and aligns you and your brand to have a successful, enjoyable, and profitable podcast. After launching my own show, I had so many women reach out to me and ask me how I did it. So what did I do? I created something I wish existed. There are many ways to create and launch a podcast, and you want to make sure you do it right from the very beginning. I believe that keeping it simple, organized, and original is the most effective and efficient way to go. Are you ready to start the process? Are you ready to learn more? Visit yourpodcastproduction.com today. Hey everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today is Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's another episode for the I Chose This Life series. I'm super excited to welcome my good friend Bree to the show. Bree, are you with us?
I am. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Of course, my pleasure. Now, just a little background. As a business owner who works online, you come across some other amazing coaches and female entrepreneurs and podcasters as well. So Bree and I totally hit it off right away. So I thought it was really important to bring her onto the show so that she could share her story and her business and her podcast with you guys. So Bree, fill us in and give us a full intro of who you are and what you do.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, again, thank you for having me. I'm super excited. So let me kind of back it up here. So I actually have a background. I worked for 5 years in retail, and then I did 3 years as a corporate recruiter. So I helped people find jobs here in San Diego. So most of my career experience has been in like the corporate spectrum, and I absolutely hated it. And with that, as I was, you know, finishing up university, I started my first corporate job here in San Diego, and I was working 12, 13 hour days, working on the weekends. Those types of things, totally burning myself out on both ends. And I was actually dealing with really bad anxiety, but I didn't know that it was anxiety. I thought I was just overworked, underslept, not eating right, not taking care of my body. And when I left my first corporate job, I moved into an even more strict corporate job. I started working for a large financial institution here in San Diego. And I got really sick at work one day, and I came home and I just had this moment. I was washing my face and I just happened to like catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror. And it was like, I know this sounds so cliche, but it was really like one of the first times that I really looked at myself in the 3 years that I worked in corporate. And I was like, who am I? Is this really the type of life that I want to live? What can I like, how can I serve my community and really, you know, make an impact on the world? Is this how I'm going to do that? Is this what you want your life to really feel like? And I didn't like my answers to any of those questions. And I ended up leaving my corporate job, and I really dove into healing my anxiety, and I started going to cognitive behavioral therapy, and I had just a ton of creative energy that I needed to funnel. And so I'd always enjoyed writing. I wanted to start a blog, but I didn't know what I was going to write about. And so when I started dealing with my anxiety and I wasn't working, I was like, well, this is like the perfect opportunity to have something to write about. So I started writing about mindfulness, meditation, self-love, self-care, and that really became just such the catalyst for everything that I was able, that I'm able to do now. Within 3 months, I was able to generate about 80,000 views on my blog through Pinterest. And
I love that. That's so impressive.
Thank you. And I was looking for ways, like I was getting emails from women around the world and I was connecting with them through the comments. And I remember feeling like this feels really good, but I have to be able to give more. Like there's something more that I can do to help these women. And so I was really fortunate to connect with a woman who was a business coach. And she was like, listen, like, you have a platform and you need to turn it into something that's actually sustainable for you to, you know, live, like this could be your career. And at that time, I didn't know anything about the online space at all. I was like, I'm just a blogger. Like, I just like writing about, you know, meditation. And so she really helped me design my first course and really get into coaching. And then I started the podcast. And because of my background in corporate and building out, you know, the business that I had, I really loved helping women do the same thing because I saw a lot of women who were bloggers. And when I started the podcast, I started getting asked a ton of questions like, how did you do this? Like, how did you build your emails? Like, how did you get traffic to your website? How did you build this course? So it was a lot of more business related questions. And I just lit the fuck up. Can I cuss?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, lit the fuck up.
100% yes.
Okay, I was like, oh, I was gonna say it, and I was like, oh no, some people don't allow cussing. So I was like, just lit the fuck up by being able to talk about business strategy and business in general with women. And so that's kind of a little bit of how I got to where I'm at right now. A very condensed version. It wasn't all rainbows and butterflies, let me tell you.
Oh my god, it never is. And it's so crazy that you said that you looked in the mirror and you were literally sick from stress and sick from your job. And that's so common. And it's just so awful to hear. And I've been there and I felt it. And, you know, you have the anxiety and the depression and like all of that. And it's just so insane when you're so stressed, like how sick that can literally make you feel and look. And you don't even realize it until something just like smacks you across the face. And it's like wake up time, like a wake up call.
Right. And that was like, I didn't realize how bad my anxiety was until I got better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know, I would err on the side of caution of saying that I had depression. I never really felt hopeless or sad. Like that was one of the weird things. Like when I went to my cognitive behavioral therapist, like every session he would ask me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hopeful are you today? And I was like always above a 5. Like always, like I always knew that I was like, I'm gonna move past this. Like not that anxiety ever really truly goes away. Like we all have it. It's just, you know, inherently from our primal days, like part of us. But I was like, I know this isn't gonna be how my life is forever. Like I always had that thought in the back of my mind that like, I can turn this around. I can really change this. This is just something that I'm dealing with really, really difficultly, really, really struggling with right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the tools and the resources to be able to move past it in a way that's beneficial for my life. So in a lot of ways, anxiety, as hard as it was to go through, I think something really, really beautiful came out of it.
I agree. I've been through the same. And I feel like once you get through those first few sessions with a really good therapist, you start to see like a whole new world. Now I want to get into podcasting. So I love that you have a show, and I want you to share, because I feel like I'm always the one sharing how it's changed my business and how, I just love it and what it's done for me personally. Like, what are your takeaways from having your own show, whether it's been, you know, for you personally, how it makes you feel, or, you know, when it comes to your business, how it's grown your brand?
So, I mean, there's so many things. I think the number one thing is connection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never felt so connected in my life. Like, I think in the sense of just being able to have, like, really open and honest conversations with, you know, healers and coaches and other online entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, world experts, like, it has really transformed in that sense, and I think given me a platform to really connect with the community that I'm building,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's different than like just an Instagram post, not docking anything or anyone, but like it's a much different experience for someone in your community to dial it, like literally they're listening to you in their earphones or their, if they're fancy, their AirPods twice a week or once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what that can do for your business is absolutely transformational. I think it gets you, they begin to understand you on a different level. I think, like I said, when I started podcasting and I was connecting with other, you know, female entrepreneurs, and they were like, how did you do this and do that? That was like such a signal for me. I'm like, oh, if people are asking me how I'm doing something and I feel happy explaining it to them and teaching them, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was like another aspect. I think I've gotten a lot of client referrals from people I've had on the podcast that are like, hey, I have a friend. She would like love to sit down. Like you would love to sit down and talk with her, and like maybe you guys can help each other. She can help you, or you can help her. So it just really, I think, expands your network in a really meaningful way.
I agree. And I love that you just said meaningful. And it's so crazy because when I first launched my show, like I never even thought of like how it would be on a listener's side. I just started talking, and I have so many episodes when I was sick where I would just be hysterically crying, but I just had to put this type of show out because I knew that if I was feeling like this and I like said how I was feeling or what I was going through, like I knew I could actually help like one other person. Like my goal was just to help one. But now that I've had my show for almost 2 years and you get the feedback from people and you're just putting your information out onto another platform, onto the internet, like you never know the feedback, the haters, the comments, like you never know what's going to come back at you. Where I feel like with a blog, you have more control because you can approve comments, you can, but now, especially with like Instagram stories and people, you know, like sliding into your DMs. And if you have something that's like really weighing heavy on you and then you just get on your mic and record, I feel like those are always the shows that are just like so genuine. And then all of a sudden you have people messaging you and you weren't expecting it, but like you just had to put this type of content out. And then you're like, okay, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I just feel like having a show, having a podcast like gives us that platform to just, you know, create such a larger community around, you know, our brands.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like all content should stem from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the feedback that you get can be different. I think people who listen to podcasts typically, I think, have a deeper, how do I phrase this? Like
connection.
There's a little bit more going on upstairs than just like, oh, like this person looks pretty on Instagram. I'm going to follow them. Like
they're craving like this type of content. Like they get to choose, like if they hate our voice and, you know, they might not want to listen to our show, or, but if they love this type of content, like they get to see, you know, they're like scrolling through this huge library of shows. I mean, I do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think they're craving like some intellectual stimulation,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's really getting them to, you know, subscribe and come back and listen each week. So I definitely try to, I mean, I try my best. Like, you, as you know, like, not every single interview or podcast is going to be a home run. Like, I wish I could sit here and say I've loved every single interview and every single episode, and that's just not the reality for me. Like, there's some episodes where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I just didn't feel good. I mean, if there ever really was a bad one, I probably wouldn't post it. But again, like, you're not, it's not always going to be a home run.
Exactly. And like we were just saying before we started recording, we were waiting a couple of minutes because I had a motorcycle outside twice. There was helicopters. I actually put this on my Instagram stories. I'm like, of course, the day I'm recording back to back. And there's helicopters all around my home because I'm right next to the beach. And you just like can't plan. Like, we plan to perfection, right? But then that never works out. So, and I've had surprise guests on my show because they're talking outside, but that's just our reality of podcasting.
I know, I was telling Kelly, like, I've never been so aware of sounds before until I started podcasting. And like, even like when people are over, I'm like, you need to shut up.
You cannot breathe heavily.
You cannot breathe. You cannot even go get a Cheez-It. Like, you need to just sit down and just not do anything.
It's so true.
An hour and a half. Because like anything, any little noise or movement or any like anything can set everything off. So yeah, I definitely relate.
Oh my God, it's so crazy. Now, when you're home, obviously you work from home like I do. What kind of schedule do you set? Like, do you have your morning routine? Like, what's your work situation like when you work from home?
So I'm pretty regimented. That's just like how I thrive. In the mornings, I usually get up about between 6:30 and 7:30 is usually when I get up. And I have my coffee. I mean, I kind of like, I'll do different things. Like, I'll usually meditate. I know it sounds, I like when people say this and I hear it on podcasts, I'm like, oh my God, they're being so cliche. And here I am. I meditate and I journal. Those are usually the
first. I do the same thing with my candle. Yeah. I have to have the candle.
Yeah. So I do those two things in the beginning. And then I usually have breakfast, my coffee, walk my dog. And then I try to get dressed because I find if I'm like just in like loungewear all day, I'm not as productive. So I do try to like remain as if I were going to a regular office. And then I usually start taking calls about between eight and nine. And every day is a little bit different. So usually Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are, or Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are the days that I take client calls. And usually pretty light on Friday. I try to put them both on Monday and Wednesdays. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays are when I do any podcast interviews, any editing that needs to be done for the podcast, or I take interviews, like if I'm being interviewed, for example, like today, even though today's a Wednesday. But like, again, it kind of varies just on people's schedules. But those are, I just find that that helps me with context switching. So I'm not like doing podcasts and then next thing I know, I'm jumping on a client call. And the next thing I know, I'm like writing an email. So I try to like be really strategic with how I time things and schedule things out. So every Sunday night, I spend about an hour going over my schedule, who I'm talking to, what I'm doing, what days, what needs to be done that week, and really blocking out the time to do those things. And then every night before I go to bed, I usually make a list of about three things that I need to do for the following day and just study my schedule. So I know when I get up in the morning, like, okay, I'm talking to Kelly at 2 and I have a client call from at 1:30, and at 9 a.m. I'm doing another call, and I kind of like work my schedule that way. I hope that wasn't all over the place.
No, it totally made sense. And we're so similar in that way. Like, my morning routine is exactly the same, minus the dog, but one day I'll add that in. And my schedule, I always prep for the week on Sundays, like always. Sometimes I even do it on Friday if I just need to like really relax the fuck out on the weekend, but then I'll skim it through on Sundays. And then I never ever used to plan my week for, certain things. Like if I had a to-do, I would like something on my to-do list, I would just make sure those things are done each day. But now like my brain can't work like that anymore. So I have to have designated days to record. So a couple weeks ago, I did 6 hours straight of recording, and that was kind of intense. But normally I'll do like 3 or 4 on certain days. And then when I have to start creating scripts for clients or really using my brain and start creating content, I have to do those on days where I'm not recording. Otherwise, it's too much and I can't give like 150%. But I used to be all over the place. Now I'm very strategic when it comes to days, just like you. Although we are different because you were different with one thing, because I noticed that you put everything online for your plan, like your time, your schedule, and I have to have everything written down, like old school. Like I even have it color-coded with highlighters.
You know, I tried to do that, but then I would find myself not writing down certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm definitely like the Google Calendar. I think, did you see my Instagram story?
Yeah, and I think you sent it to me too. I forget how.
Yeah, and like people are always so intimidated, and I'm like, it's not all like me meeting with clients. Like I literally block out 2 hours to write my emails for the week, or I block out 2 hours to create pins for Pinterest. So I don't just write. I think if you put it in your calendar, it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being like, I'm going to do these 3 things. Well, like when in your time calendar are you actually going to do those things?
I love that you do it hourly. I feel like I did a little bit of that using Trello like back in the day, but I'm still writing everything down. I think because my memory is so bad, I just need to like literally write it and have it on me all the time. But I do have some things when I have posts going out, I always have them scheduled in my phone. So I get an alert, so I remember.
Yeah, that's the other reason with the Google Calendar is it's synced to my phone. So like, I know I'll get the alert, like, oh, and, like, for example, for our call today, like, I got the alert, like, oh, you're meeting with Kelly today.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, so I know what I'm doing.
We would die without any of this organization, that's for sure.
Yeah, and in the beginning, I wasn't like this. Like, I think everyone has to figure out what really works for them.
Yes, I agree.
Again, like Kelly said, like for her, writing stuff down works. For me, it doesn't. Like, you know, so everyone's a little bit different. So I think whatever helps you find balance in your, I don't, even though I have a struggle with the word balance, because I feel like, I feel like it really pushes women to have a sense of perfection. Like, mm-hmm. You find balance, you're perfect. And it's not like that. But I think, you know, finding what really works for you and in your business and what type of work you do. I also stop working at like 5 p.m. every day. Like I don't want to work anytime after that unless I absolutely have to.
That is so good. I need to start doing that. I've been working to 11 these days, but I've been starting later, a lot later the past week,
yeah,
which is so random.
I went through a phase where like I would start work at like 11 a.m. and then I would work till like 9 p.m. And then I started going to bed at like 10:30, and then I was like, okay, I can't, like my brain won't shut off in that hour and a half, to give myself a little bit more time. But the only time I really put work is like if I'm prepping for an interview or something, I'll mm-hmm. do that like after dinner. But I never take like client calls after 5.
Oh no, I can't ever, like if it's really needed, then I would. But yeah, I just feel like it's too late and I can't be like 100%. I tried to record a podcast at 6:30 at night once, and that was just way too much.
Yeah, and like sometimes again, like you have to be a little bit flexible. Like I think you have to set the boundary, but mm-hmm. then be flexible with that. Like I recorded, one of my best friends lives in Australia and I wanted her to come on the podcast, but like we're literally day and night. So like mm-hmm. I wasn't able to talk to her and like record until 7:30 p.m. So I just started my day later that day. I didn't start working until after lunch. So I gave like myself the morning to just do whatever I needed to do, to chill out, to relax, to like you know, go to the park with my dog, and then I worked later. So that's like the beauty of being an entrepreneur is you get to set your own schedule. But I think people who don't know how to do their schedule, like, it can be a really big, you know, a really big mistake on their part if they don't.
Yeah, they're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
nothing gets done.
Yeah, and I feel like you have to be scheduled in, you know, working online and just being an entrepreneur and have, you know, whatever works for you. Like, we're so different in some ways, and then some ways we're like so similar, but, you know, whatever works for you, like, that's, and it's always trial and error as well, you know?
Trial and error. Absolutely. One of the things Kelly said to me in our first conversations was, there are no rules here. And that's like,
I remember you.
I totally believed that. Like, I know that. Like, I've always been like, yeah, like, you know, fuck it. Who cares? Just, you know, go for it. Just, you know. And then she was like, I was talking to her about something. She's like, just, there's no rules. There's no rules here. And I was like, oh, she's so right. And it was so validating for me. I was like, she's absolutely right.
There are no rules in what we do. We create our own rules.
I mean, there are rules in business, like pay your taxes, people.
Of course.
You know, you really get to design what you need to, what you want to do.
Of course. Now, when you're not working, what are some of your favorite self-care routines? And, you know, like, are you working out? Are you going to the beach? I mean, obviously we need to meet up in person, and I'm putting an event together soon that you have to be at, but you're in sunny San Diego as well. So do you need to be at the beach? Do you need to do like at home spa routines? Like, what are some of your favorite things?
Okay. So this is so weird. I love to clean.
Oh my God. So do I.
I feel so good when my apartment's clean and I have like fresh bed sheets and fresh laundry. So like, I mean, I would love to get a cleaning lady, but I would probably just re-clean after her.
So would I.
Probably, like, let's be real, probably not, but I would be like, oh my gosh, there's a freaking smudge on my sink. Like, but yeah, I love like Saturdays I reserve for cleaning and like grocery shopping and all of those things. So I actually love to cook. I love cooking. It's one of my favorite things. I'm always down to like try new recipes and things like that. So that's like one of my, I think, self-care. Not that it's like self-care, but it's just something that I enjoy.
Makes you feel good. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me feel good. So cleaning, cooking, like I sound like Betty Crocker. I love hanging out with my dog. So I like take him to the park a lot. I love spending time with my family too. That's been a huge, just like relaxes me. And like, I think especially on the online space, things can get a little distorted of like who you are and what your message is. Yeah. And so having my family like really grounds me, I feel like, and really centers me. So I love to do that. I'm trying to think of, I mean, like, I feel like those are like the three or four main things that I really focus on.
Those are such good ones too. We really are we have so many things in common, more than I really thought. Yeah, I do the same thing.
I love to read too. Like, I'm constantly reading. So I probably read about a book every week.
I need to start doing that again.
Yeah. I think, you know, and it ranges. Like, I don't have like one particular topic. Sometimes I love to read big books about business, and other times I'm like, let me read Eat, Pray, Love again. so, you know, I just, it's something that kind of distracts you. I do read every day. So that's like, I feel like part of my self-care routine is just like keeping that mental stimulation going.
I agree with that. I definitely need to get back on the reading a book a week train. I don't know why I stop. You know, sometimes life just gets so crazy, and then all of a sudden it's like, why haven't I read a book this month?
Right.
That's exactly kind of where I'm at. Now, when do you think, from leaving corporate America to doing what you're doing now, can you recall that one day or like that one moment where it just hit you when you were like, this is why I chose this life? Like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Like, maybe it was feedback from a client or like a response on your podcast, or when do you think that was?
Okay, so I have to say this is like a bit of a trigger warning for anyone. No, like I'm being serious. For like anyone who might be having some pretty dark thoughts or suicidal thoughts. So probably a month into blogging, I, again, super new to the space, didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of writing, sharing my story. And I always made it a point in the beginning to have my email address available. Like I had a one for my actual domain. So I, one of the, I think it was like maybe the fourth or fifth email that I got from a girl was, she sent me an email. She's like, hey, I just want to let you know that like 3 or 4 days ago, I tried to take my own life. And she was like, I found your blog and I think you're really funny. And like for the first time in a year and a half, I like literally laughed out loud at something you wrote. And she's like, I'm not looking for sympathy. I don't like expect a response. She was like, I just want you to know that like you've already just from the couple of blog posts that I've read have really changed the way that I'm looking at my life. And for me, I like cried. Like I, when I read that email, I literally cried and I was like, I don't even know how to respond to this. But for me, that was like another, it was just a turning point of like the potential to make an impact on even one person's life is there. And I wanted to keep doing that.
That is so incredible. Like, and I'm going to cry right now.
Don't cry.
I won't cry. But that's, isn't it? It's just like it hits you right in the gut, like that feeling.
Yeah. I remember like calling my mom crying and she was like, what is wrong? And I like was like, I just got the saddest email, like hyperventilating, because it was so it was so touching. And you know, and it was just the truth of like, this is the reality of life. It's like people are out there that are really struggling and don't know, you know, who is struggling behind closed doors. I kept my anxiety a secret for 3.5 years. Like no one knew how I was really feeling. So to hear that someone else had that experience and that I was able to shape their life in some way was just so incredible to me. And I was like, I want to keep doing this. Like if I can help one person, like who else can I help? So you never know, even I think on the online space, right? Like it's really hard to tell because you're not physically in a room with someone, but you don't know who you're inspiring by the type of content you put out.
Exactly. Especially with podcasts, like you never know who's going to come across it, who's searching for any type of show that you're producing and putting out there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, what do you think, what advice do you wish that somebody had given you getting into the space that you're in now?
Oh.
Do you like my questions?
Or
what advice would you give somebody that's trying to do what you're doing, that's just starting off?
I would say buck the fuck up.
Yep.
And just work. Like fucking work. Like I really have a hard time. I've literally said no to clients who like want to do this just for the vanity metrics. I'm not interested in working with those types of people. If you're gonna come to me, if you're gonna want to be on the online space, you better be prepared to show the fuck up and serve and be of service and really help someone and not do it for the Instagram followers.
Oh my god.
Not like, and that's the thing too, people don't understand. Someone could have $100,000, 100,000 Instagram followers and not make a dime. Like it's all vanity metrics. Like people who have 1,000 followers make 6 figures a year or a month sometimes. Like it really is, you have to like have a system in place behind, and I'm going to go on a tangent here, but a system behind like the content that you put out. So yeah, I think, you know, really be prepared to work and work hard. In the beginning, you're going to work the 80-hour work weeks. It's not going to be forever, but you're going to have to work really hard to really understand your client. I don't get this whole, like, you don't have to work hard. It's so easy. That's literally been no one's experience. And if they tell you that, they're lying.
Exactly. I literally am looking at a post-it on my vision board. It's actually just full of quotes and things to like motivate me. And I have one that just says, put in the work with a huge exclamation point. I'm staring right at it.
Yes. Like, just be prepared to work. Like, hard work has never scared me. I think being part of the the process is going to be 100 times more important than the result. So you're going to learn way more during the process of building a course or building a coaching curriculum or building a podcast or whatever it is you're doing than you are from the actual like result that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, what do you think, what are you currently working on right now?
So currently I'm, thanks to Kelly, changing the name of my podcast.
Because there's no rules, people.
There's no rules. So it's going to be called Let's Get Into It. And it's going to be available, yes, you know, obviously on all of the major platforms. That's my project right now. I'm building a course on Pinterest and how to utilize Pinterest to grow your blog and your business, specifically your email list. And
I love that. I love Pinterest. Pinterest gets me a lot of leads for everything that I do. And people don't realize how important it really is. I love that you're doing that course.
Yeah. So Pinterest is totally underutilized. It's actually more of a search engine than it is a social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually argue that it's probably the second largest search engine after Google. So
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely untapped, and I know people have stigma around Pinterest. It's like it's just DIYs and recipes and outfit ideas and like makeup stuff, and it's totally not. So there's so much to learn about that, and yeah, I'm trying to be as methodical as that's reasonable when creating the course, because there's so many different areas to go into. So I'm really trying to help people understand the basics of using it as a business tool.
I can't even remember the last time I pinned something that was like for fun. I always use it for business. In the beginning, I used to have, when I was a makeup artist, I used to pin my work and my portfolio, but then I'm like, okay, this is business. And then I just kept using it for business. But I totally agree. And I can't wait for everybody to see that course. When do you think it's going to be ready?
I'm hoping, it was supposed to be ready in February. But again, like from things that I've learned from my last courses that I've put out I really wanted it to make it one of the best courses that I've made and make it something that's way more interactive and it's just something really valuable that people will continue to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's taken me a little bit longer. So I'm hoping that it'll be out by the end of this month.
How long does it usually take you to create a course when you're like head down, like getting it done?
I mean, this is actually really important. So one of my first courses I ever created, the first course I ever created, flopped. Not a single person bought it. And I spent months building it.
See, that's the thing people don't realize, how long it takes. I was just talking about this on another show where it takes like 6 months sometimes to put one of these together.
Yeah, I have a rule. So I don't know if you follow or if anyone else listens to James Wetmore, but he uses this term MVP, most viable product.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses this model of like, it should take you 90 days to build something before you put it out into the world. And from there you tweak it. And that's kind of the model that like I'm really trying to follow. So like mm-hmm. I haven't been, I mean, he said the most he's ever spent is 2 quarters, right? Because a quarter is 90 mm-hmm. days. Working on something. And I really, really, really think that's true. Again, it depends. He obviously has a team to like help him do all of these things. So I think mm-hmm. in the beginning, like you have to be prepared to do the marketing, the sales, the customer service, and the actual content creation of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it really depends. Like with my first course, I spent way too long building it. And it didn't work out. And I was able to salvage the course and like break it down into something that was smaller. And then I just kept kind of reframing from there. I think the quickest I've ever built a course was in 4 weeks. This course has taken me probably 8 weeks to build. And that's by doing a little bit every day. And also because I've gotten an influx of clients over the last couple of months. So it's like I've had to balance my time between building the course, making sure my clients are taken care of, and continuing to like build my brand. So I have like those three major things going on. If I didn't have any clients, it would have probably been cut in half.
What do you use? What platform do you use to create these courses?
So I utilize CourseCraft. They should be paying me for this.
That's how I feel like with my apps, IFTTT.
Yeah, so I utilize CourseCraft. There's other platforms. There's Kajabi. There's, what is it, Udemy or something?
Teachable. Like that? Is it Teachable that is one?
Teachable is another one. CourseCraft is free up until a certain amount of people per course.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take a larger percentage of your sales. And then you can upgrade, obviously. So, I think, you know, if you're just starting out and you're like, I don't know if I want to create a course or what that's going to look like, I think if you're, you know, CourseCraft is a great place to start with just the, you know, getting the basics and getting your feet wet and like really seeing more of the traction and how test out your marketing skills of getting people to actually purchase courses from you. And then you can kind of build and expand from there.
I've actually never heard of that platform. So I'm glad that you shared that. I am not a course creation person. I've tried and it's just too much. Like I'm so much better one-on-one, but I'm super excited to see the ones that you have.
Totally cool.
I know that's what, that's like the beauty in what we do. Like there's so many different ways to get our content out and like help other people, which is what I love. Now, how, when you launch this and you have X amount of people and you're just celebrating, you know, the success of you working hard and you putting out a really great product for the rest of the world to see, how do you celebrate your personal goals that you've hit or, you know, milestones you've accomplished? Like what is your kind of, do you have a cocktail? Do you go to the gym? Like, what is your one thing that you, like, love to do?
So, I actually don't drink. I would have, like, a mocktail, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to have any kind of liquid. You could actually, like, hang out with friends.
That's, like, one thing. I don't drink. I'm not that I had, like, I'm not a recovering addict or anything. Just never like really anything to do. It's never been my thing. But I would have like a glass of champagne or something. Maybe. But I really like this sound like Kylie Jenner when she did her New Year's Eve thing one year. She's like, I just really like experiences. And like we're all just like experiencing things. Like I really like experiences. Like I think I've always wanted to go horseback riding. I've never been, or maybe I have been when I was in Girl Scouts. I don't remember, but
oh my God, I did
do something that's like different. Like I want to go zip lining. Like, so I think for me, like that's a reward of like, oh, I feel like, you know, I can kind of take a breather here for a second. Like, those are some things that I would probably do to celebrate.
Horseback riding. I did. I didn't do it with Girl Scouts, but it was the same time I was a Girl Scout. I was taking lessons, and I'll never forget. My horse's name was Ryan. We started the jumping phase, and he just jumped way too high, and I almost fell off, and that was the last time I ever rode in a horse.
No! Yeah, I feel like if you've had one bad experience with a horse, like, it's like a never again type of attitude.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, one of those, like, height, I don't know, I don't think I could ever do it again. Maybe, I'm not sure, I'm afraid, like, if I was on the beach, like, in Mexico, or, I don't know, the horse could just take off, and then I'm screwed.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I would totally want to go to a place where, like, they walk you, and, like, I don't know anything about horses, but it's, like, those big, like, circles.
Like, at the Del Mar Fair, like, I'm down for that.
Yeah, and then I would get comfortable before we're like, all right, let's go through the woods. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think traveling, like I love to travel. So I actually have a project that I'm working on in Miami with a bunch of personal trainers. So I was like, maybe when I'm done with this course, I'm going to book a trip to Miami and then I could work a little bit, then also have a ton of fun.
No, you definitely need to do that. I lived in Miami for years. You're going to love it.
Oh my gosh, I'm super, super excited. So yeah, so I mean, there's different things for everyone. I one time bought like a really expensive purse when I was done with a course, and that was so fleeting. I felt happy for 2 hours, and then I looked at it, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, that's it? Like, you know, so you learn very quickly, like, sometimes even the monetary things, like, or the things that you buy that you think are going, are like big accomplishments, turn out to not be. So that's why I'm like, if I'm going to celebrate, I want to have like an experience in some capacity, either, you know, with my friends or my family.
I love that. Experiences are everything. I just think they're more like memorable and they just make you feel so good. So warm and fuzzy inside when you're done.
My Kylie Jenner reference, because if not, it's not going to make any sense. And people are going to be like, why is she talking about Kylie Jenner?
Wait, can we talk about her? How do you feel about her being a self-made billionaire?
Oh, I thought you were going to bring out the Jordan thing, and I was like, oh.
Oh my God, no.
I think, you know, the Kardashians aren't dumb.
No.
Like, there's a lot of business brains that have to go into it. Like, listen, she had a team of people helping her. Yes, she was probably part of the process. Yes, she was there. I mean, I think, you know, I think congratulations to her, but I think in the sense of, is she like a full-on entrepreneur? No. Like, she probably wasn't responsible for, like, a lot of the back-end things. And she had the resources to purchase, you know, a team and to purchase certain resources that are needed to really, you know, fund that type of success. But I do think that she is a businesswoman and she's smart. And that should be definitely recognized for sure.
See, I 100% agree with everything that you just said. And there's so many, like just today I'm on LinkedIn and everybody's following this Forbes post and commenting like she came from money and she has no idea what she's doing. And I'm like, the Kardashians are not dumb. They took what they had and they blew it the fuck up. And if it wasn't for Kris, like training these girls, like they all have multiple businesses that and investing in other things that most people don't even know about.
Yep.
They're being really smart and strategic with every single thing.
They're being really smart because they could have been like the Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
I think Paris Hilton is still successful in some way, but like it's really easy to like have those, you know, quote 10, what is it? 10 minutes of fame, 5 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of fame.
They only get 15.
Like, and these girls have found a way to prolong that and to keep people interested.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you know, the whole Jordan Woods, Khloe Kardashian, Tristan Thompson thing, like, is another thing. Like, Jordan, yeah, she's gonna lose a lot, but, like, business-wise, she's, like, set. Like, she's gonna be able to do a lot of things. So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is...
The fact that she was invited to Red Table, like, literally within 24 hours is, like, mind-blowing.
Well, not really, because she knows Jada. Like, she grew up with Jada.
Oh, did she? Oh, I didn't know that. So, you know more than me.
Yeah, so, like, Will Smith, when he was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Jordan's dad... I forgot what he did, but he worked on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, so that makes
Jordan
sense.
Jordan has known Will Smith like her entire life. Jordan was known Will Smith and Jada her entire life. So that's why she got on really quickly. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I believe her, but I kind of do. But I'm like...
I haven't watched it. I don't know. I'm team Khloe.
I mean, I feel bad for Khloe because... I mean, this wasn't like it wasn't a first time offense for Tristan.
Yeah, I know, it's so sad.
I mean, even like dating as an entrepreneur is different. Like, can we talk about that for a second?
Can we talk about how I just put Tinder back on my phone?
Yeah, isn't it weird dating? I had an experience where a guy brought up something I said, like a whole conversation I had on a podcast episode.
Oh my God.
It was the weirdest thing ever.
See, that's why I'm so afraid. Like, I actually was talking to somebody about this the other day, and she's going to meet somebody she met on Tinder, and he literally just got back from being overseas for 2 years. He was in the Marines, and I said, you know, and she's like, you really should do it. And I'm like, well, I just put it back on my phone, but, you know, my business is online, and what if I meet some psycho, and the first thing they're going to do is, like, stalk my social media and leave some crazy comment, and it's going to, like, destroy my business. Like, I think of the worst things possible. Like, I think I'm a Kardashian, and I'm going to have this all over social media.
I totally get that. Like, I could see that. That is a possibility. I mean, you never know what's possible. Like, the actuality of that happening is probably really low.
But yeah, I know. Of course it is.
I think, like, I'm like, oh my, if he Googles me, like, he's going to know so much about me before I know anything about him. And then I'm like, well, he could use that to manipulate me. He could use that, like, against me. Like, and that's what I think about. Like, I'm worried, like, he's going to know things about me that I haven't
shared yet.
To share with him.
That's even a really good point.
Even though they're out there online, it's like, yeah, like, I'm, you know, 100% authentic. All of the things that I've talked about are 100% true and how I feel, but it's a lot different when you're having a one-on-one conversation. I don't want him to be like, in 2017, on this blog post, you said this, and I'm going to be like, what the frick? Like, what are you, you know?
I know.
Out.
All of my friends are on me. They're like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have any excuse anymore. You're not sick anymore. So, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, I just need, like, a couple more projects to be done. Like, stop it. And I'm like, I know.
I think, like, even the types of guys you date have to be different. Like,
yeah.
I say this all the time. I don't know if I could date a guy who has a 9-to-5.
No, I couldn't. I have to date another entrepreneur, somebody that runs a business.
Yeah, like, because the lifestyle is just different, the mindset's different. Not that I'm better. I mean, some people are perfectly happy and fulfilled in their 9-to-5s, and, like, more power to you. Like, but I want someone who, like, wants to build something. Like, to me, that's very attractive in a guy.
I agree with
you. Who has, like, dreams and aspirations and, like, has a bigger vision for his life, like, a vision for his life. And that's been different for me dating, you know, going from guys who are working the 9-to-5 to dating entrepreneurs.
I didn't even think of that. Like, now that we're talking about it, I'm actually going to have a dating coach on the show soon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's so funny that we're just talking about this now, because it's something I've never talked about in public ever till today. And yeah. Now she's coming on. So I just feel like that's so crazy. The universe. Damn it, this universe. Oh my God. Okay, so let's wrap this up. I want everybody to, where can everybody find you on social media?
So all of my handles are at Living Breely.
Which I love.
Yeah, so all of them, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, are all at Living Breely. And then my website is livingbreely.com.
Yay. And then I'm of course putting all of this in the show notes. And then when you get me, oh my gosh, I can't talk anymore today. When you have your course launched, I will also add that into the show notes. So for those of you listening, you want to check back soon and follow Bree, you can click the link in the show notes. And we're super excited for the new rebranding of your very own podcast. So we'll make sure that's there too.
Yay, thank you.
Of course. Bree, thank you so much for your time and for being on today's episode for the I Chose This Life series. I really appreciate it. I know you're so busy. And I hope that everybody listening has taken away some very important information that Bree shared with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Thanks, guys. I'm going to talk to you again soon. Until next time.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you liked this episode, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. And if you have 2 minutes and listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I would love it if you could leave me a review. Those messages mean so much to us podcasters, and they really help me create more of the content that you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? It's simple. Head to Facebook and search for the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself, coaching programs, weekly newsletter, and more, visit thehappyworkaholic.com. The Happy Workaholic Podcast is part of the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Be sure to follow the Happy Workaholic Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.